And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 853. Coming at you on a Wednesday night with the second episode of Benched with Bubba this week, and we're going to talk some to drop or not to drops. I'm trying to switch up the terminology that everyone uses around baseball this time of the year. We're eight fab periods in, so it depends on how you do math. We're like a quarter of the way through the season. Maybe we're a third of the way. It depends on what people like. I've heard many different terms in recent weeks, and a lot of questions keep coming in of, should I drop player A, B, or C? And that's a common thing right now. I kind of tweeted about it over the weekend about certain players to drop. So I'm bringing a friend of mine, a friend of the show, on to discuss some potential players, primarily in 12s, but we'll give our thoughts on other formats if it comes to fruition. But a long list, plus a little bit of news, and much, much more. But to kick us off, you can find him over on Twitter at the Human Rain Delay, or Corked Wood. However you look to check it out, he's a heck of an NFBC player, a friend of mine, and I enjoy having him on the show. Mr. Brandon Waddell, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing great, Bubba. Thanks for having me on again. Always a pleasure and a joy to talk baseball with you, especially NFBC. It's a different animal every year, and especially in the 12-teamers. We got a lot of guys just doing heavy volume, shooting for the moon for that top overall prize, and it's got a absolute crap ton of injuries this year, so it's keeping everybody on their toes.
Yeah, it's just each and every week, and we'll hit a couple of these injuries right out the gate. Like I was tweeting it, I think Monday night or Tuesday night, it all blurs together now. It's either a new prospect or another injury where you're just like, wow, everyone spent all this money on player A and he's already on the IL. And that's happening tonight with Robbie Snelling. We'll kick it off right with that. Robbie Snelling was kind of the toast of the town in 12s last week, 15s. He was pretty widely rostered, like Ben and I talked about on Monday. But Robbie Snelling heads to the IL with a UCL sprain. Got to go further testing. They have not announced Tommy John, but most of the time, this is a precursor to said situation. Braxton Garrett is expected to get called up. That has not been made official just yet. Pete Fairbanks was activated on Wednesday to take that roster spot until Snelling's trip through the rotation. So we got that going for us, but you're obviously going to wait to get the final nail in the coffin, but you're probably dropping Robbie Snelling this week. But any thoughts on this big injury? Like, literally, some people didn't even get a start out of him, Brandon.
Yeah, I added him in a 15 where I desperately needed pitching a couple weeks ago. I think I added him for like 130, you know, to a backup of like 75 or 80, which I was okay with because I knew I needed to overpay, and I think I got one start. It wasn't great, and now I'm out of that money. And I have him on a couple 12s also. Maybe, again, I had him a couple weeks ago, so maybe one or two starts. Nothing great, and now you just drop him. I mean, it's like you said, it's a precursor to Tommy John almost always, and you just wait for the official word, drop the guy, move on, and figure out the next bullet in the gun because we keep going through pitchers like crazy this year. It's been wild.
Yeah. Pitching's been just horrific to try to figure out. Braxton Garrett will be interesting, assuming he's going to be – he was supposed to pitch on Wednesday night. They did not start him, so he should be the one up. He's been pitching great at AAA this year, so I'm very excited to see him get a shot to come back. He'll be quite pricey probably this weekend, so I'll have to kind of wait and see how that one goes. The other kind of major injury news, there's always more than just these two nuggets throughout each and every day, but Francisco Alvarez of the New York Mets, he left Tuesday's game, Brandon, swinging – hurt his knee, left the game, and then it found out he has a torn meniscus, scheduled to have surgery. He's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. Now, this can kind of be a precursor to the rest of the show. Is that a drop for you?
Yes. He's a drop. Okay. Jiner Diaz, I have him on a couple teams. I actually added a third catcher to hold on to him for a couple weeks because I think he'll be back in the next week or two. But – I mean, 6 to 8 weeks, dude just can't stay healthy even when he is playing. It's just waiting till he gets hurt again. So, you know, yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. Not that there's a lot to add in the catcher landscape, but you can't take a guy who's chronically hurt. He gives you power, but you know he's going to sap your batting average. Counting stats are mediocre. So you just got to find warm bodies and rotate your – I mean, a lot of people, he was a C1. If you're lucky, he's your C2. And you can kind of replace that, like you said, just mix and match. Fill in with a warm body. You know, the Giants got a couple guys who, you know, they're available if they didn't get picked up in your league last Sunday. And there's other guys that are coming up. So
Yep, Daniel Susak is expected back this weekend, so you'll have. I think they'll split a lot of time back there. Both will have some viability for you, as to your point. But yeah, this is the time of the year where, like I said, you're a quarter or a third of the way through. I've heard different terms, depends on where you decide to do math. But if we're talking 6 to 8 weeks, that's 2 months. That's another chunk of the season gone. So it's very hard to hold those guys. So let's get into kind of some strategy talk before we start talking players here, Brandon. I guess so let's just say we're a quarter of the way through. We're eight fab periods in. And you kind of see where your team's at, but there's still a long ways to go. You know, the cliche, oh, it's a marathon, not a sprint, so on and so forth. But people are spending money like it's crazy because you don't have a choice right now with injuries and the next like hot commodity coming up and what could be and so on and so forth. You've had tons of experience and tons of success in the 12s. How would you kind of give people advice on how to approach, I guess, maybe trying to come back if they're down in the league or if they're in, on top, like you don't want to ever just be, you know, comfortable with where you are. So how are you continuing to attack the waiver wire, I guess, in your situations?
Yeah, obviously, like you said, it's team dependent. You know, I have 9 or 10, you know, OCs, you know, 9 350s and 1 750 plus a couple other standalones. And I'm off to a pretty bad start. I think I have one team that's inside the top 200 overall and everything else is pretty bad after that. You know, and I talked to some buddies and we're like, yeah, it's still early. It's still early. It's still early. Yeah. It's still early until it isn't, you know? And I think we're kind of getting to that point where it isn't still early. You know, like you said, we're 2 months in, you know, we'll just call it 30%. Let's shoot the middle between 25 and 33. We'll say we're 30% of the season's down. And, you know, all those stats count, right? So all the guys that you have on your team that are struggling, I'll just name a couple guys that we're going to talk about later that are on my teams, you know, Matt Chapman and Willie Adames, you know. We have like multiple Gene Segura Award winners going this year where I was just like, yeah, I'm just leaving these guys alone. And I'm a Giants fan, right? And I'm like, Jesus, I didn't even realize how bad they were, you know. And then you have to just be honest, right? Especially in 12s, like you have replacement value on the waiver wire. It may not be the name value like those guys are, but I don't care. I just need stats and production. I know you guys talked about him. I think in your last, Bubba Bloom, like, you know, Ildemaro Vargas, right? Yep. I have no idea who this guy is. 34-year-old journeyman. Don't care. You know, he had 4 homers and 12 RBIs in 1 week and he's outperform Matt Chapman's whole season, you know? So it's just, you can find guys like that on the waiver wire, find the hot streak, play the hot guy. I've really taken to heart. I think Vlad Sedler kind of said it, you know, numerous times in a lot of his podcasts is OCs are 2 to 4 week timelines. Everything, every move you make, every lineup you set, everything that you should be doing should be done in a 2 to 4 week viewpoint. You know, what is this guy going to give me over the next month? You know, it's not adding this guy to plan for the next 6 months. It's like, what can I get for 2 weeks or a month or even a week, right? Luke Rayleigh, Dominic Canzone. Those guys are not great, but they got 7 righties this week. They got added a ton. Canzone hit a grand slam yesterday. Rayleigh hit a homer today. You know, it's production and it counts. So you just need to be vigilant and pretty diligent about looking at week-to-week matchups, looking a week ahead, picking up guys who are playing in Colorado to try to take advantage of that ballpark, especially in the summertime. Ditto for Sacramento, you know, with the A's ballpark. And you just gotta be consistent. And fab is a huge part of being successful in 12s. You can't miss fab weeks. You know, can't miss a new guy who gets called up. You can't be gun shy about spending your money because guys will quit. Guys will give up. Bids will go down a ton later in the season. And you just got to keep firing those bullets to try to hit on somebody who's going to just really ignite your team and bring you up the standings.
Yeah, no, it's I love that 2 to 4 week mentality because I've been much more inclined, like, I need to stream this guy. This guy's not any good. Let's move on. I think that's why Ryan and I have a lot of fun going back and forth because I have the 12 mentality. I'm playing more 15s of late, but I have the 12 mentality where he's always been on 15s, where 15s, you kind of just slog through it a lot of the time. And you like certain guys that might not be producing what they're playing. So playing time's important, so on and so forth. Where at 12, it's like, I don't care. That's why like, I was in on Ildemaro Vargas, like right out the gate where It was like, why? I'm like, because he's playing every day. He's hitting for average, and let's see what happens. Like, there's just so many little levels to it, and did I expect him to be this good? No. But I'll take it, and we'll move on from there. And that's where a lot of these guys come into, like, streaming is so much more important in 12, to your point, with, like, the Canzone Rayleigh situation, as you mentioned. And, like every week I write my fab column for the Patreon, and every other week the A's are in Sacramento for a full week, and every other week I write up Jeff McNeil going, hey, he's not great, but he's got six or seven games in Sacramento to play. Like, this is a guy you want to at least stream and see what happens, because at worst he might score a ton of runs, because they'll score a ton of runs, and hopefully he gets some other production along the way. But yeah, it's very interesting to kind of build off your, like, kind of pounding the waiver wire, fab, fab, fab. I was going to ask you, because, you know, there's a quote-unquote fantasy expert that I can't stand half the time that doesn't look at standings until the middle of the season. But I think we're all human. I know I check mine way too much than I should. But when do you start really focusing your fab on, hey, I need to focus on, I'm down in these categories, and I need to start building up on it now before it's too late? Or compared to just like, hey, let's just keep grinding to get the best guys for this week and move forward in that direction?
Yeah, I've been doing that for a couple of weeks. So I know I've talked about this before, but my fab process is three tabs open. One is the free agents, the other is my lineup, and the third is the standings. And I'm toggling between all three, figuring out, okay, who am I starting on Monday? I do all this on Sunday. Who am I starting on Monday, pitching-wise and hitter-wise? Okay, what does my bench look like? Do I have coverage if someone's questionable, you know, or day-to-day? And then I look at standings and where can I move up? You know, I've one league where I think I have 12 steals. You know, I'm behind 11th by like 10 or 12 steals. And I said, well, I'm going to take a 12 in steals. So, okay, just give me all the power hitters, you know. And if I can spike a little bit of batting average, that's the only way I'm going to have a chance in that league. And I knew I was kind of screwed after the draft. I just didn't draft enough steals, and then I lost one or two steal guys. So, it, you know, things happen. But you just know right away, like, I give up. I'm punting steals. Give me all the guys who hit homers. I don't need a Nassim Nunez, you know, or I don't need anybody, you know, Caballero. You know, I don't – not that they're available, but, you know, guys like that, you just don't want on that team. And then the inverse, if you have, you know, some nice, I don't know, steady average – and I don't mean like batting average, but if you just have a nice, you know, steady base in hitting or pitching, you just look at, okay, how many wins or saves or how many Ks or homers are the next few guys ahead of me, you know? And then do I bench one of my relievers to play an extra starter to try to get, you know, a couple more Ks and maybe another win? You start taking shots on two start guys, you know? It's just like, yeah, sometimes it backfires, but – you know, again, I don't care if I finish third or 10th, you know, the only two spots get paid in the 12 teamers. So, you know, you really, you got to try and take your shots to move up. And, you know, like you said, sometimes you just, you click on the standings, and I'm guilty of it. I look at it a lot too. You know, I'll click on live stats and I'll just click on my teams and I'll sort top to bottom. And if everything's in the red, I just close the app and, you know, call it a night and come back tomorrow. But you know, if you got a few in the green, you're like, oh, hey, I moved up 4 or 5 points, and you can still move up a lot. Yep. Like, I had a team that moved up 6 points in one day, and we're 2 months into the season. So you can still move quite a bit. Yep. You know, it's not time to panic. Obviously, you know, your team and you know what injuries you've had and, you know, guys that aren't hitting for you, and, you know, you can be realistic about it, but there's still a ton of season left, a ton. You know, and guys can get going. I mean, you know, I have Tatis on a team, and it's like, Jesus. You know, he's like 5 extra base hits, no homers. Thanks for the 10 steals, but I just can't figure it out. He's hitting the ball hard, but it's like you kind of assume he's going to have 20 plus, right? So, you know, he's going to have 20 homers in 4 months where some guys already have 15 and they might only hit another 10. So, like, okay, you're just, yeah, you were behind, but then you're going to gain. So it all kind of does even out a little bit, but you have to, again, just pay attention, you know, look at your teams and just see where you can make the most gains and then add and drop accordingly. You know, batting average being the hardest one to make up ground in. That's if you're batting 225 right now, I think you just are kind of screwed. But that was a draft problem. It's not, you know, it's not an add and drop problem. You just didn't draft enough batting average. So, and again, that's I'm guilty of that. You know, it's kind of like your whip is my batting average. I just, I'm willing to take the risks that I can spike a couple good seasons from some guys and, you know, sell out for power and try to get that speed component somewhere else. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. You know, that's the beauty of the season and the game we play is we got 6 months to see how it shakes out.
Well, and the best part is like players that might be disappointing us already this year, like they might be the all-stars next year. So that's just baseball at its finest in so many ways. Because skills are skills. It's like it's the old HQ added that draft skills, not roles type thing, because roles will come if the skills are there. And you know, sometimes you just have a bad season. That's baseball in a nutshell. So we'll speaking of that, it looks like Jack Gelof just hit a home run according to the chat here, which is beautiful because that was my most added guy this past week.
That's your boy, yeah.
There's a lot of things you said there that really stood out to me because I've talked to you the last couple of years about things like you kept harping on me to spend my money because that's always been my bugaboo. Well, I'm in like the $500 to $600 range of my OC, so I've been spending like we're spending money this year. Like I'm trying to and I'm doing okay so far, so good. But and we're gonna talk about some of these players like Matt Chapman, who I actually dropped this past week in a 12-team league, and we're gonna talk about that kind of stuff because it's different. In a 15, I probably wouldn't dream about doing that. In a 12, different story. So I guess like kind of the last thing I want to ask before we start actually talking players to potentially drop in these formats, what does it take for you to be like enough's enough, I guess? Like, cause I know we all have our biases, but some people are stronger than others to get rid of said biases and just analyze, hey, these are the statistics. This is what it is. But like you mentioned Tatis, who he doesn't have a home run. He's got the 10 steals. He is hitting the crap out of the baseball still. So like, that's not like, that's where it's really strange with him. But you're still going like, there's no home runs. Like, what are we doing here? And then there's other guys that are just, you know, horrible at the same time. So I guess there's the yin and the yang. I don't know. Is there like a draft price you look at that like you hold guys longer than others? Or is there kind of just like a, I don't know, philosophy is the right term for you?
Yeah, I do think draft cost comes into the equation. Whether it should or shouldn't at this point, I think it's just a big mental block for most people, me included. Yeah, I don't want to drop a top 20 pick in Tatis. You know, that's just, man, the guy back of the baseball card, you know, it's 25-40, it's, you know, 40-30, you know, it's great seasons, good batting average, lots of counting stats. I haven't even thought about dropping him. I haven't even thought about benching him just because of the talent. And, you know, like you said, you know, he's hitting the crap out of the ball. The problem is he's hitting it into the ground. He's a la Yandy Diaz right now. He's got 3% or a 3-degree launch angle right now this season, you know, so down from 9.3 and 10 the two previous seasons. So, I mean, there's the problem, right? You just can't get the ball in the air. But a 60% hard hit rate, I think, you know, double-digit barrels, that should equate to 5 or 6 home runs. Just hasn't. So I think he's fine. I think you're insane to drop him. If you do drop him, he'd go for 400 or 500 in FAB. I think that's another way to look at it. Is if you're thinking about dropping a guy, if you saw him on the waiver wire, what do you think he would go for? You know, right? You guys were talking about someone dropped Lizardo in an OC. Dude, that was like a listener question from your last Bubba Bloom pod.
I didn't believe it. I had to look it up. I'm like, holy crap, he did. Like,
yeah, which is insane because if you look at any of his X stats, like if you just go on Savant, like he's having an amazing season. It's just not bearing out into the actual stats that count for us, right? But I mean, that's an he's going to go for, he should go for over 500. If someone's got, you know, 750 plus, he should. I mean, you could be picking up an all star.
Empty the clip.
Yeah,
like he has Cy Young skills. I'm not saying he's going to be a sub, but he has Cy, like his skills have never been better in his entire career. Results have sucked. I have plenty of shares. I'm a believer in Lizardo, but
yeah, same
goodness. Like I heard that I you listened to the show, obviously. I had to double tick like 3 times. Like that really just happened. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm in the wrong league.
Yeah, I don't have a bid range for you, but it's gonna be 450 plus is where I'd start. You know,
that's what he said. And I'm like, okay, well, this guy went for this and this, yeah, okay, we're going to this. Like, let's just say like I went back to I think on the fab sheet that Ryan makes, the fab tracker. I think it was like 650-ish is the average team remaining salary. So, okay, so we're going to use that as our marker. Mm-hmm. It's $400 to $500 minimum is what's about to take place here.
Absolutely. You can't you know, that's like adding Nick Kurtz from last year, right? You know, and that was before we knew he was really good. We know Lizardo can be really good, and he is good this year. Like I said, it's just the underlying is really good. The actual ERA and stuff, not so much, but he also had one of those, you know, patented blow up outings. So
agreed. Well, that'll take us into the list. And if anybody's curious how I came up with this list, I thought about just going down and just making a list myself, but then I'm like, you know what? Let's do this for the listeners, because I usually ask listener questions. And instead of doing that, I just asked one big question that said, hey, give us players in the Discord. So it's kind of a perk. If you support the cause, we're going to give you a list of guys for you to go over here. And some are going to be super simple. Some are guys I dropped weeks ago, as a matter of fact. Some are actually worth discussing, and some are still coming in on the Discord, but we'll see if we get to it in time. So let's just kick it off with I'll jump to one thing, because you mentioned him. Do you have any other thoughts on Tatis? You're keeping Tatis, but Franchise asked about Fernando Tatis, and to me that was like the easiest hold in the entire list to me. You're muted.
Sorry.
All good.
For me, that's the easiest hold. You know, hard hit 11.7, not amazing, but 58.6 barrel percentage, 13 barrels, XBA is 276 with 10 steals. You know, so for using even the 50% indicator, he should have, you know, six or seven homers. Again, like I said, his issue has been his launch angle. It's three this year. I don't know why he's not trying to lift the ball, or, you know, maybe he's got a small nagging injury or something. That wouldn't be the first for him. But yeah, just stop it. If you have your hand on the drop button, just smack yourself and don't do that. Because, I mean, he can have a week where he just goes bananas. You know, he can have a Schwarber week where he hits five homers, steals five or six bases. You know, when he gets going, he plays like his hair is on fire, and, you know, he can be amazing. Yeah, and you spend a top 20 pick on him for a reason, because the stats are there at the end of the year. And again, if it's this year's 2040, are you seriously going to drop a guy who might go 2040? Like, you're insane.
Yep. So no, I'm with you. Like, it's been a rough go. I'm not going to deny that, like, in the power department, to your point, but like the quality of contact and everything's still pretty darn strong. Like 13 barrels without a home run is unheard of almost. So you'd have to hope things turn around. Is he going to go, you know, hit 30 home runs? It's probably too late for that. Like you said, if he can go 20 and add 30 more steals to the 10 he has, 2040, that's a hell of a season. So you'll take that in a big way.
Yeah, and it's, you know, 275, 280 batting average plus counting stats. You know, I mean, the Padres are the second best team in that division. I don't think it's particularly close. You know, Giants are terrible. Rockies are terrible. Arizona's pretty meh, you know, so. Yeah. I mean, they're going to beat up on the bad teams, and there's three bad teams in their division, and one plays in, you know, Mile High Stadium. So, you know, plenty of chances for production.
Speaking of Colorado, we have Jordan Beck on the list from BP ask us this one. He's only playing versus lefties now. I dropped him weeks ago.
Yeah, same. I don't know why you would still have him on a team. I mean, just across the board, terrible, and not playing. So.
Yep, he was one of the easier ones to drop on this list. But let's talk Victor Scott. Now, this is one of those that I think I know where we're going to go on this one, but at least I want to give, I guess, a second to at least think about it. Now, his playing time is starting to get really goofy. He was playing every day versus righties, hitting versus lefties. He was a little banged up this last week, but he's hitting 178. He does have the six steals. In a 12, though, that feels like you can't run with that much longer.
Yeah, I've been off Victor Scott in 12s every season. It's just hard to win with these guys in the 12-teamers. Yeah, you know, you can kind of squint and see it in a 15 if he's going to get the playing time. But in a 12, you can't have a guy with one barrel on the season batting 207 with only six steals. You know, or excuse me, his XBA is 207. So even if you give him his expected batting average, it's still 207, where you need – you know, 255 to 260 overall as your team to be competitive. And you need 24 homers per position to be competitive. You know, you're getting a guy who has a 1.4 hard hit, a 26.7 barrel percentage. Like I said, one barrel on the season and only six steals. Like, there's just no room for him on a 12-team roster, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm out on Victor Scott. He's a rabbit that's not rabbiting, to top it off. Like at least Chandler Simpson's going nuts, hitting for average,
yeah,
crazy, scoring a ton of runs. Like, he's doing things. You can work around that if you build your team appropriately. Victor Scott's 8 steals is nice. It's not great. It's nice. Nothing else is paying off for you.
Well, and that's 9th too, right? So you don't even get the counting stats. It's not like Chandler Simpson who leads off, you know? Like you said, he's got a good average. He's insanely fast. So OBP is high, even though he doesn't walk much. He just has a crazy high BABIP because he's so fast. And then as soon as he gets on, he's looking to run, you know? It's just a completely different profile.
Full agree. I'm really curious your thoughts here. Lawrence Butler, if we're talking about a guy that's not hitting for average and is producing just like Victor Scott, well, that's Lawrence Butler, folks, hitting 175, 3 home runs, 4 steals, sits first lefty. He's sitting on Wednesday evening as we record. The Law Dog, I know he had the knee injury in spring and it was a slow start, so I was trying to give him the grain of salt. I'm out of salt in the salt shaker, Brandon. I was insanely close to dropping him even in a 15 this past week. I just had enough. I'm like, okay, let's see how Sacramento, a week in Sacramento, does. Does it wake him up at all? I'm probably dropping him this Sunday. But if you could talk me off the ledge if you feel implied to.
Yeah, I certainly don't have any words of encouragement for you to try and sway you the other way. You know, looking at the underlying stuff, it's better than, you know, what he's doing. But, you know, 7.3 hard hit percentage, 48% barrel, pretty good, but only 6 barrels on the season, XBA 232, 4 steals in a platoon. Oakland's bringing guys up weekly, you know, just kind of trying to find the magic for their next big prospect. You know, Cortez, he can mash. I mean, give me him over Law Dog all day. Like, his stat cast profile is awesome. Like, it's all bright red, you know, and he should be getting playing time over Butler, you know. And I know they're bringing up guys, like I said, it feels like every week. They just lost Wilson to injury, I think, right? And then they've got Muncy, who's also injured. So they got a little bit of a mash unit going on, but they're just going to bring up guys throughout the year. They did this last year too. You know, as soon as you think you got a guy's plan, all of a sudden he gets like 5 at-bats in a week, and then they, you know, send him back down to the minors, you know, and he probably had 3 homers 2 weeks ago. So I think especially with Sacramento, you just can't fall in love with a fringy player like Butler, who's in a platoon that does not have a guarantee of playing time. You know, they don't owe him anything, and he's not producing, and he hasn't all of last season, and now we're 2 months into this season, and it's the same kind of sad display of baseball. So yeah, I wouldn't.
Yep, full agree there. That was from Ben Tidd, for those keeping track at home. I'm trying to try to give acknowledgement to everyone that wrote in here. From Schwartz and Timothy, two guys put this one. It's the only player we had double dipped in the entire list, which is honestly kind of crazy. Stephen Kwan, this one, I don't have any shares of Stephen Kwan because he never really does it for me in 12s. 15s is where I was like, okay, I could see the appeal. But Stephen Kwan's hitting 206, 1 home run, 2 steals, 9 RBIs, like 18 runs. Okay, that's not nothing, but it's not much. It's dreadful. And, I don't know how you could roster this much longer either. But we're cutting a lot of outfielders, all right out the gate here, Brandon.
Yeah, we are. I don't know. I've kind of been with you on not being on the Kwan train, especially in 12s. He's just not a guy who does it. You know, if you look at his past seasons, you know, it was okay. It was 11 homers and 21 steals last year. But if you go look at, you know, his hard hit rate, his barrel rate, his barrels, like, it was all seemed like a pretty wild overachieve. And I think you're seeing that play out in real time this year. I had to look at this like 3 times before I put it on my spreadsheet. His hard hit rate is 0.7.
It's horrible.
I mean, how is that even possible for a major leaguer? 0.7, 10.3
barrel. A leadoff hitter on a major league team.
And it's not like he has elite OBP skills, right? His batting average is down. So I really do think he's either going to lose playing time or just move down to like the 8-9 spot. And I think DeLauder's going to take over as the leadoff hitter. Yeah, again, Kwan is very much like Scott. He just doesn't give you enough juice to check all the boxes in the categories that you need to compete in 12s. It's really hard. Like you need to average like 25 homers, 70 RBIs, 70 runs, and 14 steals, plus like a 250, like I said, 255, 260 average from every player. So if you have, you know, Kwan out there stealing 10 bags to go with your catcher who's, you know, stealing zero and hitting 9 homers, and you got Kwan hitting 3, like, you know, you need 28 out of those two guys, not 12. Like, you're so far behind. That's why these guys, I just don't draft these guys. You just,
yeah, these
the math doesn't work for me when I'm trying to fill in my you know, yep, statistical category targets for my draft. You know, I just
yeah, don't do it. Since I started filling out sheets that like Ryan makes or something, it's taken, like, Beck I liked as a late guy. Lotto I was kind of interested in when the price kept falling, but for the most part, I'm not in on these guys. And to be fair, like, Beck and Scott didn't cost you much. Butler started with kind of – Kwan was a target for many. So we're actually like, mm-hmm, – some of these guys won't be like major targets. A lot of these guys are very popular players right now. And so Kwan's one of the first ones I think we really hit that. In a 15, like, I don't even know if I'd hold him in a 15, Brandon, to be totally honest. Like, we're focusing on 12s, but like his boring profile would work in a 15 when he hit like 270 and, you know, scored 80 to 100 runs. Like, you could play with that. He's not doing any of that, which is absolutely insane at this point in time. Before we get to the next player, I kind of want to add another question for you here. And maybe this is just totally stupid and it makes sense as you talk about every player, but I'll throw it out anyways. How much does team context weigh into holding on to a player?
I think it only really matters if you know the history of said player with the team. Like, okay, we know Cleveland's going to give Kwan a lot of rope at the top of the lineup, so maybe you hold him for an extra week or two. Maybe as a hot week, you know, hits 2 homers, steals 3 bases, you know, starts popping his average closer to 250. But, I mean, right now his XBA is 228. And that profile, like you said, it needs to be 280, 290, 300. You know, you need him to give you some juice somewhere to allow your, you know, Schwarbers, Varshos, you know, guys like that who are going to hit you 225, 230, but 40 homers or more to kind of balance that out, right? And you need to be able to play that balancing game. But, you know, batting 225, that ain't it. That's killing you. Yeah, it's killing you.
Makes me like all of a sudden appreciate Luis Urias, who I'd never drafted either. Luke Kuechel, this was a popular name among the streets. I don't know if I have any, to be totally honest, but this is one where he's playing every single day. It's at a position that people aren't overly thrilled with, but I will say, and I mentioned it on a lot of the shows between with Ben or Ryan, that second base middle infield's been quite prevalent in the waiver wires, at least to start the season. They'll dry up eventually, but there's options here. But Luke Kuechel, everyone liked him for his average and his speed. Well, he's got the 9 steals, which is nice. 1 home run, a 222 batting average. So this is almost like Victor Scott-esque at a different position. What are your thoughts on Luke Kuechel? Because this is one of the, I guess, first ones, maybe outside of Law Dog, where I'm like, I can see an argument for both. I lean one way, likely cutting him, but I could see the argument to like see what you get out of him, I guess.
Yeah, he's interesting. I don't think I have any of him either. And I wasn't off of him, but, you know,
I did feel like second base. So, like, I wasn't.
Yeah, I did too. I liked a lot of late second base targets, you know, bus driver, you know, we can call him the pseudo team mascot, right? Otto Lopez.
Yeah, he's paying off in spades right now. So that's
nice. Yeah, he's batting like 350. Like, you know, the guy's been amazing.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I think Kuechel's, you know, 302 batting average last year and 380 OBP were a little inflated. You know, I think he was just running a high BABIP in a smallish sample. And he's had the similar amount of at bats this year to start the season as he did last year. And it's not vastly different. You know, it's 4 homers versus 1, 14 steals versus 9. You know, counting stats are obviously down a little bit because he's, you know, batting 2.25. But I think they're going to just play him. So, mm-hmm, you know, if you need the at-bats, I definitely think 15 team, he's a hold. 12s, you know, you can probably find something. I wouldn't drop him, but I could certainly, you know, consider benching him and just picking up something else just to see if he improves. And if you have, you know, a guy who's out there, I mean, Willie Castro, you know, like who's pretty readily available in, you know, 40 to 50% of leagues. You know, he's not going to give you the steals, but you can get him in a Colorado week. You know, he can give you some juice categorically. You know, average usually pops up when those guys are playing at home because the ballpark's so big. You know, so I just think you kind of try to figure that out with Kiesel and, you know, just see if it's worth holding on to. You know, it's tough. One homer is not going to do it, you know, but what's his ceiling? 15? 12? You know, so again, you're just running into that categorical problem of not having enough power, which is why these guys are on the list. Like, you know, it makes sense. If they're, you know, if they got 6 to 8 homers and 9 steals and no one cares if they're batting 225, it's like, oh, okay, he's contributing. It's fine. You know,
yeah, most of these guys aren't playing well since we're going to talk about them today.
Yeah. Again, which is why they're on the do I drop list, you know? But yeah, 9 steals isn't nothing, right? That is very helpful. So if he is giving you juice.
He's pacing for almost 50 steals right now. Like he's running.
Yeah. And, you know, you give him another, you know, 50 runs, 40 RBIs. It's not terrible, but, you know, it's probably just, he's probably just an average player, right? You know, WRC plus of 100. He's just league average, but gives you a little juice in stolen bases. He's got to get that average up to 250 or 260 for it to start helping you. You know, if he bats 230, 240, it's probably a bad play. If you play it all season, it probably hurts you. I would guess it'd be a net negative with the lack of power and the subpar average for, you know, what his runs, runs RBIs are going to be as well. But I don't know. He's tough. He's a guy I did like. But again, I just wasn't forcing it because my second base list was like 20 deep. I was either going early or I was going late.
Agreed. Full agree. And that's why I guess was the first one. I'm like, I could see this. Most of these were easy drops, but this was like, I could see a reason to hang on this one. At least there's some kind of meat on the bones on this one that you can kind of see through the tea leaves. How that
works. And he's 23, you know, so you got that hopefully too, right? Like maybe it just clicks, you know, maybe he just gets in the video room and he starts looking at stuff, makes a small tweak in his approach and his swing. You know, none of us think Minnesota's lighting the world on fire with their analytics program, but you know, prospect development's not linear. We've all heard that a million times, you know, and this guy has the pedigree. So I think he's worth holding. Like I said, I'd bench him, see what you can find out there on the waiver wire. Maybe try to find somebody with a, you know, 7-game week, 4 games, the first half of the year, the week, and just try to get those extra at-bats, run into some extra stats, and just, you know, keep an eye on him on your bench.
Yep. Accumulate. Going to skip Dylan Beavers. He's on the IL with an oblique injury in the 12. You can probably drop him to just move on in that direction. He's hitting 243. Unless I'm wrong, would you hold Dylan Beavers? I'd drop him.
No, I didn't even add him when he was available in some of my leagues.
Perfect. All right, but Canton Dog also says, Noah Cameron, so our first pitcher to discuss here on this show. Pitching's been horrible. I expected a lot more pitchers. We don't have that many to go through, surprisingly enough, because most of them just get hurt and make it easy, I think. But Noah Cameron has allowed 3 earned runs or more in his last 5 starts. He's walking at least 2 in each of those 5 starts, striking out 6 or less in those 5 starts. It's been a really rough go. Is the nicest way I'll put this. Last year, he was able to kind of navigate through and get you ratios without strikeouts so you could survive. This year, he's not getting you the ratios, Brandon. So I'm leaning on the drop side of this one with Noah Cameron.
Yeah, it's just a very, very hard no. I looked at him. I can't remember if it was my 12s or 15s. I would assume it was a 12 where he was available. And I, you know, okay. I remember he had some good starts last year. You know, the Royal Stadium is a good place to pitch, even though they moved the fences in. You know, it's not that big of a deal. It's still cold out. You know, all the things you can kind of try to tell yourself, especially with a 2-star week. And you're like, yeah, I think I'm going to do it. And then I click on a Statcast page, and I'm like, dear God, no, don't click that. I had him on bid list and took him off after I looked into his Statcast. And it's he does not have one single red slider on his Statcast page. XERA is 6.43, ground ball percentage 28.8 to go with 11 K minus BB. No, good. just a hard no. Like that guy, you know, like you said, he hasn't even been good. Like it's not like he's carrying like a 3.5 ERA and has been able to recreate kind of that smoke and mirrors magic that he had last year. I think he lived just a really low BABIP, a high strand rate. And, you know, even his underlying stuff last year, his XERA was over 5. His XFIP was not great, you know, and I just, you know, the guy throws, you know, 90, 92 miles an hour and gives up a lot of fly balls. It's a really bad combo for a pitcher.
Horrible profile.
Yeah. So I just, yes. Why did you wait so long? No, yeah. Yeah. 15s. I mean, gosh, I just wouldn't have him on a roster, period.
No, like in 15s, if he was at least quasi good, but it's every start. It's like I said, it's 300 runs or more. He's walking guys. He's not striking out guys. He's giving you nothing to work with. Like at least Walbert Urena is either going to walk 7 or strike out 12. Like there's like windows where he gives you something where Noah Cameron is giving you nothing no matter what. Like the stars have to perfectly align to get something to work with Noah Cameron right now.
Yeah, it's like what's your upside for taking on all that risk of potentially just shattering your ERA and your WHIP in one of his starts? Like, what are you hoping for? Yep. 5 strikeouts? I that might be his season high, you know. And you know he's not going to go deep into the game. He's not an efficient pitcher because you know he puts so many balls in play. It you know just gets his pitch count up, and it's just not worth it.
Nope. All right, I mentioned earlier what I did with this individual in 12s last week. Curious your thoughts as you have shares of Matt Chapman. This is for Dark Sheep, who threw this one into the chat. Chapman entered Wednesday night, hitting 227 with a home run without any steals. His ISO's below, it's .084. 82 WRC+. There's just, you go down the list. Not a lot of things that excite me when I look at Matt Chapman's profile right now, and I think it feels like he's a broken man, but maybe I'm just a disgruntled Giants fan at the same time. So what's your thoughts with Matt Chapman in 12-team leagues?
Yeah, this decline has been kind of out of nowhere. We saw it a little bit last year, but he was also battling a lot of injuries last year. You know, you could kind of see it in his Statcast profile. Hard hit was down. Barrel was under 50% for the first time in quite a few seasons. You know, you never expect anything above really like a 235 to 245 average with him. But I mean, this year it's so bad. And I fell into the trap. I've been playing him every week. I have probably 3 or 4 shares. You know, I won't say he was a target, but I definitely liked it at third base if it's someone you waited on to get in the middle rounds. But I mean, 30% barrel percentage this year, 6 total barrels on the year. XBA is 201, you know, so he's actually getting lucky to bat 230, you know, and he's never going to give you, I won't say never, but he hasn't given you any steals this year. He did have that season. He had like 15 or something. Right. But I just think the age cliff caught up to him really hard. You know, playing third base is tough, beats up on your body. He's had a lot of injuries and, you know, whether he's playing with something nagging or, you know, it's just hard to make the excuse. You can't just say every guy who's playing terrible has an injury they're playing through. You know, that's what we want to tell ourselves. Like, oh, he's got something nagging. He'll get over it and he'll turn it around. Yeah. Well, you got 2 months of crap to try to dig out of now.
And he's showing no signs of getting better. That's the problem.
No.
He just struck out looking to end the game right now as we're talking about him.
So. Oh gosh.
It's not great.
Yeah, I haven't dropped him yet, and that's probably just because I kind of had the blind spot for it. And
I get it.
You know, I was just playing him. I'm like, oh, he's my CI. He's fine. It's Matt Chapman. No big deal. You know, and then I'm like, why are my teams doing bad this year? I'm like, oh, because I'm playing Matt Chapman. I'm my CI for 2 months, you know, and not being proactive. Yeah, and because, again, you just have to eliminate the name, you know. It's like I always enjoy those during draft season, you know, player A, player B, you know, and people just put up stats. Who would you rather have, you know? And then, you know, player A is like a future Hall of Famer and player B is, a second year player. And you're like, who's getting drafted 150 spots later? You know, and so people just fall into that. I'm not immune. You know, I just, hey, Chapman's great. Well. He hits the ball hard. Doesn't matter that he plays in, you know, San Francisco. You know, you hit it hard enough, the ball goes out. But yeah, he's not hitting it hard. He's definitely not hitting it out, and he's not making good contact. And he just he looks like a shell. So I have no issues green lighting the cut. 15s, I think it's impossible, but 12s.
You got to hold him in 15.
Absolutely. You can get him in 12s.
Full agree. All right. Dustin McComas bringing a heavy hitter here because, man, I have this decision in a few leagues. It's mainly 15s, I think, but I'm wavering on this one. Trevor Rogers returned from the IL, allowed 6 runs in 4 innings in his last start, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts. It's been rough. It's almost mimicked Noah Cameron at times the last 4 or 5 starts, which isn't great. Except Trevor Rogers actually was outstanding last season. Again, that was last season. So this is where the whole blind spot thing comes into play. Is this Trevor Rogers from his previous like 4 seasons that we all got disdained? Or is this like, hey, he's hit a rough spot and we can maybe see a shell of let's get back to what we saw last year type thing? That's where this one's tricky, especially more importantly, pitching's been so horrible that it's like, okay, he's healthy. Can he find it? There's a lot of what ifs with Trevor Rogers, of course. So where do you stand on this one? Because like I said, this is one of the dilemmas I'm going to have this weekend.
Yeah, I think you have to hold him. I think he's kind of somewhere in between where he was last year, which we knew he wasn't going to have a sub-2 ERA, right? And he wasn't getting drafted like a guy who anybody thought was even going to have a sub-3 ERA, you know? True. But he's also not the 6.5, you know? I mean, this year, xERA is 4.14. His K-minus walk is not great. It's 11%. You know, that's an issue. So, you know, like you said, Cameron Esk, right? They have the same K-minus BB. And Rogers' ground ball percentage is 37, you know, slightly better than Cameron's 28, but also not great. You know, that's putting a lot of balls in the air. It bit him in the ass against the Yankees. I think they hit 3 homers off of him before he got pulled. I didn't play him this week coming off the injury, which I know was just a massive sickness. I don't like doing that. I feel like guys get really run down. You know, I'm anything but a professional athlete. And when I get sick, it really takes me out for a while because I feel like I get sick twice a year, and it's usually for a week. And, you know, it takes me 2 weeks to get my energy back, but I'm also old and, you know, not in shape. But, you know, it's just – and it's the Yankees. It's like, yeah, they're still good, you know. They still hit the ball really hard. You know, I don't love playing guys against the Yankees or the Dodgers or in Colorado or in Cincinnati or in Sacramento. You know, like the list is just – it grows, especially as it gets warmer, of its, you know, cities and stadiums that you try to avoid. But again, you know, you can only avoid so much. You got 4 guys on the IL on your bench. You got to play Rodgers. You know, I don't know, man. I would keep him. You just saw so much good stuff from him last year that, you know, we know it's there. we've seen it. The Orioles have seen it. I think they're a decent organization, you know, and can try and work with him to get him back to where he was last year. But, you know, again, in a 15, he's a hold all day. In a 12, I think you can bench him, play matchups, stream him from your bench. You know, that's the thing I like to try and do. You know, play him if he's got a 2-start week. I'll say this week an exception with, like I said, coming back from being sick and starting off against the Yankees, which is not something I like to do.
Yeah, I had him benched pretty much everywhere this week. He was, but one of the things you just mentioned is something I love to utilize is he's a bench streamer. Like we look at the waiver wire and 12s and especially 15s. And sometimes it's not great when it comes to pitching. You're taking a lot of risk where, yeah, Rogers is a lot of risk too, but we know the ceiling. And so give me that on my bench and we'll play matchups and see where that plays out. Similar to this next one, Chase Dolander. This is from Matt Cardinal. Chase Dolander to me is an easy hold. It's just, you play him on the road and you sit him at home. That's pretty much the way I go about this. Maybe there's a juicy home start that comes across and you want to roll the dice, whatever. There'll be some two steps because every week the Rockies play right now, it's half at home and half on the road. So you're going to have to force the hand at some point. But I think you just hold Dolander. He's been as advertised. The last start, he still pitched well in Philly, even with 5 walks. Like that was a fluky situation for him. I'm not concerned. Maybe you are, but I'm firmly holding Chase Dolander.
Yeah, he's a firm hold. I don't have him anywhere. I just don't really draft or add Rockies pitchers. I usually just don't like the headache, but I mean, the guy's great, throws hard. I mean, his fastball velocity is, you know, 98th or 99th percentile. Tay upside is there. You know, you have that handicap of him pitching in Colorado, you know, and Colorado's undefeated. Like, you just can't beat it. You can beat it a couple starts. You might even be able to beat it for a season. You know, we've all have those memories of the pitchers who did. And then the very next season, you know, their ERA doubled, you know, and it's just a really hard stadium to pitch in and be consistent. You might miss out on a good start there. You know, I've done it in the past, benching road pitchers who go in there to play. You know, I've missed some real gems, but I feel like it's served me well overall to just not even mess with it. It's just a blind bench for me, any pitcher in Colorado. But again, if you have the ability to stream him, you don't have a ton of injuries on your bench and you can keep him. I mean, yeah, you're certainly not dropping him, but it's just, yep. It's hard to maximize it because you're getting 16 starts. You know, it's hard to keep a guy like that all year. He's going to have some bad road starts too. Like, it's just, even the best pitchers give up 6 earned, you know, it's like Paul Skeens. Yep. Yeah, I understand it was O'Neill Cruz's fault, but it still counts, right? You know,
it all counts in the end. ERA is below 2 now, which is insane. That's how good he is. But my God, yeah,
it counts. I saw a stat. He hasn't walked somebody since April 17th. Yeah. Is that humanly possible? He's like, that's insane.
He had that no-no going into the 7th last night, and Mickey Moniak broke it up. And like around the 4th inning, I had the big inning on. And so they kept showing his, and just watching him pitch, it just looks effortless out there.
Yeah.
It's insane how good he is. I pray we don't, like, every pitcher, it feels like it's hurt eventually. Please don't take Paul Skeens.
Like you said, take my UCL. Don't take his, please.
Yeah. Let us see
him pitch for a while.
That's just fun to watch. Like, and Pittsburgh needs something in the baseball world. Alec Bohm. Let's talk Alec Bohm here, who, he had to take a few days off to get his mind right. He's got battles with his family off the field. And he's hitting 184, 3 home runs. You can't roster Alec Bohm.
No, you can't. And just, you know, he was a questionable draft anyways. Just, you know, kind of his profile over the last couple of years. You know, power is going to cap out between 15 and 18. You know, the allure was going to be he was going to bat cleanup, potential to drive in 100 runs, bat 275, and that's the only way he was going to really pay off his draft cost. But, yeah, throw in the personal stuff, you know, clearly affecting his on-field performance, and you can just happily move on.
Josh Bell is the last one for – or no, he's got two more. Matt Cardinal, he's hitting 213. I didn't realize it was that low when I was thinking about Josh Bell. 3 home runs, 1 steal, but 21 runs and 22 RBIs is not nothing. But at the same time, 213 is dreadful, and Josh Bell's Josh Bell. So, like, I could see a week where you stream him from time to time, but that's about as far as I can go in 12s with Josh Bell.
Yeah, I actually think I just dropped him this past week. He was on my bench. He was just kind of a guy that just gets at-bats. He plays. He's in there. He'll give you some stats, but, you know, aging profile, aging player – you know, batting average just never been great. You know, he's always hit the ball decently hard. You know, and this year's, you know, no different, you know, 9.9 hard hit, 41.5 barrel percentage, 11 barrels, you know, XBA is 232. So, you know, there's a little room to the upside, but I don't know. Like, I think I'd rather have Troy Johnson and TJ Rumfeld from Colorado, you know, guys that, yeah, they're going to platoon, but you know, when they're going to platoon, you know, when they're playing at home, you know, and you can just kind of massage your lineup on the NFBC to try to maximize and take advantage of that. I think Josh Bell, if you play Josh Bell, you just play him all year. And then you just take the stats at the end of the year. I don't think you can try and time him or, you know, try to stream him from your bench. I think if you're in on Josh Bell, you just put him at CI and you just take the 20 homers and you take the 230 average and you get the runs in the RBIs and you just say thank you. But I think it hurts you though. So I don't know. Like I said, I just dropped him. So
in the 15,
that's how I feel. Yeah. And again, in 15, 100% it works. He's going to accumulate. He's going to get at bats. Yep. You know, in 12s, you need 300 plus at bats. Every week, you know, you got 14 guys. You need, you know, 25 at-bats from your guys. They all need to be playing. Like a lot.
You'd like him to be good at bats too, if possible.
If you don't want O'Neill Cruz versus a bunch of lefties, right? Those aren't good at bats, but you know, against righties, they're amazing at bats, and he's just
outstanding at bats. If you did this one 3 weeks ago, this name wouldn't be on the list. But Jeremiah Jackson production has just slowed down. Hit .238 now with 6 home runs. Not even playing every day. Like Westberg had a setback. They're trying to play Jackson Holley at third base in rehab. So maybe Jeremiah Jackson still has a chance to play in time. Like I said, he's not even playing now. Jackson Holliday's not back. So not sure why that's a big deal. Right now, second base reps are going to Blaze Alexander. He's platooning with Blaze Alexander, and they're both right-handed. So check out that platoon for you. I think you got to drop him. It was a fun start, but you got to get off the train.
Yeah, agreed. I added him, you know, for, I don't know, some 20-something bucks. Played him for 2 weeks, had him on the bench for his grand slam, you know, and then just he just lost playing time, and I just cut him. Not worth playing, not worth keeping. And like you said, you know, losing playing time in a righty-righty position split is just terrible.
He's the perfect example of that 2 to 4 week windows you're talking about in OC. Like you got him, you played him, you dropped him, you moved on. Like that's, you just hoped you maximize it the best you can. Doesn't always work out that way, but he's one of those perfect, like in and out type players.
Yeah. Just ride the hot streak. Like the guy was hot. He was playing, they were batting him high in the order. You know, they were scoring a bunch of runs because, you know, they just were finally starting to click offensively because they'd been really struggling. You know, Alonso had been terrible. You know, Adley's starting to hit. Gunner, he's still struggling to, you know, average-wise, but, you know, his power stroke is there. You know, so it's just like you just try to get in on that offense when it's clicking and, you know, get some ancillary pieces that are getting above-average playing time in an above-average batting order position and try to bank the stats. But like you said, he was a two-week blip, and, you know, now he's gone. Maybe with another injury or two, he'll come back. But, you know, his stats are nothing special, you know, 35% barrel, you know, 7 barrels on the season, you know, 6.9% hard hit and an XBA of .235. Like why are you going to go out of your way to play that?
100%. We're back to kind of, I don't know if the blinders are on or if it's kind of like the Matt Chapman part of the game. Ezekiel Tovar. It's a shortstop position. You didn't have to pay a premium for him. You got the Coors Field narrative. But Tovar's hitting .196 with a home run, 3 stolen bases after tonight's game. He's striking out almost 29% of the time. It's not great at the moment for Ezekiel Tovar. That's putting it lightly. But he's playing every single game. He's playing in Coors Field. And there is a track record with Ezekiel Tovar. So that's why I say it's kind of like the Matt Chapman conversation at the same time. Maybe it's, I don't know, but it's one that I almost dropped this past week, but I held on a little longer with Tovar. Where are you at on Ezekiel Tovar?
Yeah, I don't have to make this decision, fortunately. But it's 600. No, I can't. Math is hard here. 500 at bats going back to last season. At 360 last year, 140 this year. If you combine it, 500 at-bats, 10 homers, 8 steals, probably batting something like .230.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that's not good at all. When you put it that way, Brandon.
I mean, 54 runs, 43 RBIs over his last 500 at-bats. You know, it's really bad. 2024 was amazing, right? 26 homers. 6 steals, .270, you know, 80-80 essentially. And 2023 was similar. But something happened. I don't know what it is. I know we all had pretty high expectations. You know, he's a guy that got a pass last year again for injury. You know, and he was expected to bounce back this year. I'll say very similar to, to Brenton Doyle. Right. We kind of just gave him a blanket pass last year because of all the personal stuff, rightfully so. Like, I can't even fathom, you know, but man, he's baseball wise, he's just been terrible. You know, 3 RBIs last time I looked. I don't know if he's gotten one since. You know, it's just, you just can't play those guys. And I know Tovar leads off and you know, it's Colorado. It's all the good things that I just talked about with that stadium. But 10 runs, 10 RBIs, one homer, three steals, 193 over 140 at-bats. That's really bad. Yeah. Like, that's really bad. I don't – like, unless he starts to turn it around, he's going to lose playing time or get moved down. You know, you can't keep playing a guy who's got a 240 OBP. That's really terrible.
Yeah, when you break it all down like that, there's a great chance he's not on my rosters after this week, because I kept telling myself this, that, and the other, but when you actually look at the actual numbers, not telling yourself something, it says a lot. Speaks volumes, and that is horrible, absolutely horrible. So, yeah, full send on that one. That was from Mailman Mike. Mailman Mike also asked about Jacob Marcy, a guy that tore it up in his little stint at the end of last season. Not quite the same stint so far. 181 average, two home runs, but does have 12 steals. So this is one of those, do you think he could give you enough in the average department? Because he could steal 50 bags if he plays every day. He could also get demoted. There's a lot of things that could take place in Miami. A lot of what ifs. But if you're rostering Jacob Marcy, where are you sitting at on the ad drop situation?
Yeah, this is a tough one. This conversation I've been having with some buddies on, you know, our group thread, they all play in the NFBC, and we were all pretty high on Marcy in the preseason during draft season, me included. I don't have any for some reason. I'll say luckily. But, you know, we keep having this conversation, like, what are we doing with this guy? You know, and when all the projection systems came out and they all had him, you know, projected to hit 235, and we're like, no, that's wrong. He's 275, 280 hitter. Just look at last year. You know, he was the contact was good. BABIP wasn't crazy. You know, clearly those guys know what they're doing, because, you know, even his XBA is sub 200. You know, four barrels on the season, 3.8 hard hit percentage, 40.2 barrel. Yeah, obviously you have the 12 steals, but I mean, you can't play a guy who's not batting over 200. It's hard to play guys who aren't batting 230, 240. In his profile, you know, you usually need something in the 270, 280 range, you know, just because you get at least two categories out of the guy. You get steals and you get average to make up for the lack of power and the lack of counting stats with the runs and RBIs. And if he's batting below 200, which he has for 8 weeks, and you've been eating that, like, you need him to bat 300 to get, you know, anything remotely close to, you know, 260, 270. And we saw it. He did it last year. We know it's in there. But maybe that was all just, you know, bad luck and, you know, running hot for a couple months. And, you know, he kind of fooled us. But the guy is fast. He will steal. Like you said, 50 is definitely a possibility. You know, he's got 12 in 2 months, you know. So – but man, yeah, it's tough. I think he's another one of those like Kiesel. Put him on the bench.
Yep.
Kind of reevaluate your team, look at your standings, look at your needs, and then make decisions. You know, it's like, man, you have to make tough drops in 12s. It sucks, but you just do. I honestly think I dropped Emilio Pagan in one of my 12s just because I had other guys who were hurt and I needed the roster spot. I had two other closers. And I just kind of hit the F it button, because if he's out 8 weeks, if he's at the longer end of the timeline, like, it looked like somebody shot him after he made that pitch. Like,
it was bad.
It looked bad. And so you're just like, okay, you just have to make tough decisions and live with the consequences and just keep churning. You know, 12s, it's all about the churn. I mean, if you're not making 40 to 50 moves throughout the season in 12 teamers, you're not making enough adds and drops.
Yep, full agree. Like, I've learned a lot from you guys in years doing that. And that's why I just, like, Chapman's gone. I'm starting to become much more like, hey, if I make the mistake, I make the mistake, but we're not going to let this linger too long situation. And that's where it gets dicey at times. And, like, the next one here, Justin Crawford, he was struggling early. I dropped him. I picked him back up, and I'm happy I did, because he's hitting 273, two homers, four steals. He got another home run on Wednesday. To me, this is an easy hold. Like, it's just a young player trying to figure it out. But there was a stretch, like, not too long ago where it was really bad for Justin Crawford. That's why I moved on from him. But it's one of those. You move on, you realize you made a mistake, and try to fix it if you can. And I got lucky enough I was able to fix it But I'm holding Justin Crawford. I don't know about you.
Yeah, that's funny you said you dropped him and re-added him, because I was just going to say that about Marcy. You know, it's like, hey, if you drop Marcy and, you know, you realize, or he has a hot week and you realize you needed the steals, you know, something happens, you lose your other rabbit that's on your team. You know, you can always re-add him. I've tried to do that. You know, you drop a guy and you're like, well, crap, that was the wrong, like Josh Jung. I drafted a lot of late Josh Jung and he was terrible and I dropped him and I tried to re-add him and I didn't get him anywhere. And so now everybody else is enjoying the fruits of his good last 6-8 weeks. You know, it's just part of the deal, you know, and it's always nice that you can try to re-add a guy. And like I said, it worked for you. You got some good stats. You just got to be careful. I mean, it's, yeah, the 270 is nice. The steals are okay. But, you know, he's batting ninth. You know, counting stats are 10 runs, 10 RBIs, you know, one homer, maybe hit a second one today. You know, OBP's good, 345. Average is great at 270. You know, slugs 390. Like, that's all decent. But it's hard to play a guy who bats eighth, ninth consistently in a 12-teamer. 15s, again, you play the guy who's playing every day and just kind of hope he runs into it and accumulates. But again, it's a tough profile in 12s.
Yeah. No, that's why I gave up on him for a while. Then I'm like, okay, we'll start to swing it, so we'll stream him. I could see myself dropping him again in a few more weeks if things go cold. Mm-hmm. He's got that streaky profile, it feels like, where he's going to go through phases. And it's a great offense, so if it's clicking, he's going to have an impact at some point in time, or at least benefit from it, you'd think, with runs scored. So he's easily a guy I could see that is benching or adding and dropping a few times this season throughout those.
Yeah, and again, he's 22. You know, he's got that youth on his side. He's still trying to figure it out. And there's – you don't have to either play a guy or drop a guy, right? We have seven-man bench for a reason, you know. And most of the time, the bench is, you know, our guys who are hurt. But ideally, you have some other players on there who you like, who may be struggling – you know, or battling a nagging something in their day to day, like they're not on the injured list, or like Crawford, like they're going to go through phases of having good weeks and bad weeks. And, you know, you can try and hopefully time it and, you know, catch him on a hot streak and stick him in and reap the benefits. And then when he goes cold, you bench him, you know, but you just hold on to him and, you know, hopefully he starts figuring out and gets better. Starts making better contacts, starts getting, you know, better counting stats. Maybe he moves up a couple spots in the order because the bottom half of their lineup is not special. So, yeah, I think there's potential. He's definitely worth holding, you know, but I just don't think it's a guy you can play every day.
Agreed. Ross Hawk's got a couple for us here. He starts with Jansen Junk, a guy that very popular to start the season, velocity up, velocity up. Then he had a couple rough starts, then three really good starts, then another rough start. If you're sensing a trend, you probably should. Jansen Junk's going to be an up and down, maybe streaming a good matchup. Washington got to him, but Washington's pesky. He actually pitched well against Philadelphia and the Dodgers, so good luck streaming. Jansen Junk is what I'll say there. He's got viability, I'll admit that, but it's a guy that I have zero shares of. I understand if you do, he's just a tough guy to figure out. So what are your thoughts on Jansen Junk?
Yeah, we'll throw both of his guys together, and I'll throw Nick Martinez into this conversation as well, because they are essentially the same guy, right? Elite control guys, yep. Sub 6% walk rates, don't strike out many guys. Junk's got a lot more of a ground ball lean than Martinez does, you know, 72% versus 42. But, I mean, a K-minus walk, you know, it's 11 to 12. Their xERA is 3.84 and 3.87. I mean, they literally could be the Spider-Man meme, right? You know, I don't love those profiles. It's so hard to just have confidence in an elite control artist that you know doesn't strike a lot of guys out, relies on defense with the ground ball rate. You know, yeah, Miami's got a good park, but they also have a pretty bad bullpen, you know, and they're not a great team. I like Miami. You know, I think they hit the over on their wins for the year, but, you know, that might be 75. It's not going to be 85 or 90, you know. So wins is a category. Wins is a thing, you know. And you got guys with elite control that put the ball in play. Again, they can get BABIP. They can get some really bad outings. You know, they can just five singles and a homer, all of a sudden you gave up six runs. You know, it happened to Mitch Keller today. You know, I think he's like in a similar bucket, and I have him on a couple teams. And you know, Martinez has been great. I think he's been a great stream. Junk, I had him on some 15s last year. He was kind of terrible, and he really hurt me. I just picked him up because of the whip. And then, you know, it doesn't matter if you don't walk anybody, if you give up six earned, it's going to hurt. So it's tough. Yeah, it's tough. I think they're worth having on your team because they're healthy. And, you know, their xERA is under four. That's definitely worth having on the squad. You just need to make sure that you have coverage and strikeouts. You know, as long as you got, you know, your two pitchers that are healthy that you took in the first six or seven rounds that, you know, are on pace for 180 plus strikeouts, you can roll with these guys. But you can't play too many of them. It just starts to hurt you too badly.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I was actually having this conversation with Bloomfield off the air before our show Tuesday night. Is I look at my standings a lot, like we said earlier, but in the leagues where I know my pitching's like really needs some help, I'm rostering like five guys on my seven-man bench, five pitchers, and I am rotating each week. And luckily yesterday I had a bench of Trevor Rogers, Zach Gallen, and Patrick Corbin. This is a 15, but still the same concept in my brain takes place in a 12 or a 15 that I want to like almost have as many options and then be able to rotate through them week to week, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And at the same time, if it's one of these kind of like suspect guys, like a junk or whatever, and say you do want Braxton Garrett and he gets called up, well, that's a guy you can drop for Braxton Garrett and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Like, it's an easier drop than some of your other drops at the same time. But until then, probably a better option to bench stream than some other options on the waiver wire. So it's kind of one of those deals, like roster dependent is how almost every one of these is going to go. But well, not everyone, some of these are easy drops, but yeah, it definitely changes things where a guy like a Jansen Junk, Nick Martinez, who's has one of the best ERAs in baseball right now. So if you've done it, it's great. Wait for it to blow up. It probably will, but live it up while you can. And these are the guys that you don't want to drop, but you don't want to always start at the same time.
Yeah, and you can, like you said, Martinez, he's been amazing, right? You've been playing it because he got off to a great start. You know, I didn't think it was going to last. It has continued to work out for him. But, you know, you start digging a little deeper and, okay, let me look at the BABIP. Let me look at the strand rate. You know, let me look at the home run to fly ball. You know, all those things normalize, you know, and they don't normalize linearly, but they normalize throughout the season. You know, so if your homer fly ball is four, it's going to normalize to 8 to 10. You know, your strand rate should be somewhere around, you know, 80-82%. If it's, you know, at 95, yeah, no kidding, your ERA is under two, right? Everybody you put on base isn't coming around, you know. So, and then, you know, his team is scoring runs for him when he pitches. You know, it's just kind of been the perfect storm for him to have a great start. And, you know, it's one of those things, you just ride it till the wheels fall off, and then when he starts to struggle, you bench him, give him a timeout for a couple weeks or a month. It's like Trevor Rogers last year, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Had a good start, had another good start. He got added a bunch of places, had nine more good starts, and then he got just ripped the last week of the season, you know? And it's just like, oh, dang. Yep. Okay. Well, it was a great ride, though. And luckily, yep, the season ended, because it probably would have gotten worse. Like,
yeah, as we're seeing, it carried over. So,
yeah. You know, so you just play it, you know? It's just like, an example I had a few years ago was Profar. You know, I picked him up because he was going to Colorado, and I never dropped him the rest of the season. The guy just had this amazing breakout, and he turned into the biggest idiot on the planet. But, you know, you run into those guys, and you just play them, and you bank the stats. And, again, you thank them for their service, and you just put them on the waiver wire when they start to suck and when regression starts to hit and things start to normalize, and you just look for the next option. Just keep going.
Full agree. Adam W's name is Kerry Carpenter, who has a shoulder sprain. So probably dropping him in a 12 because we don't even know a timeline for this yet. But just to put into context, Carpenter's hitting .216 with six home runs. Like, we don't expect that a great batting average. We also expect a lot more power from Kerry Carpenter. And he's a full platoon. There's no questioning that situation. So the production along with the injury, he's a drop for me.
Yeah, and he's a guy I've just kind of stayed away from because he does have a little bit of that nagging injury history, right? He had the back thing last year. You know, he's hard to rely on. And like you said, full platoon, only plays against righties. And right now he's sporting a 34% K rate. So I don't think you can play that. It's a drop.
All right, Diaversio, who's a very, very well. You guys are all good players, but he can, a lot of information in the Discord. He has a name that makes me chuckle because Corey Seager is a player that, if you've listened to me long enough, know I will not roster much Corey Seager in my life. And this is usually not the reason why. Usually, I'm expecting an injury to kind of take out his season. Maybe he's hurt. Who knows? But Corey Seager is hitting 184 with 7 home runs on this. He has a steal. That's a, probably more one more steal than he expected to get. But 184. You like when you draft Corey Seager, you draft for batting average and power. And that 184 is dreadful. Now, very hard to drop Corey Seager. Very hard to drop Corey Seager if you drafted him. But that profile is not great right now, Brandon.
No, it's not. And I actually was kind of eyeing Seager as a target this year around, what was it, like round 9, 10, 11. And I think that's kind of where he was going in 12s.
That felt like it's been a long time.
Yeah, it felt like pretty good value, even, you know, baking in 450 plate appearances or at-bats or however you want to calculate it. Yeah, I don't know. It's really weird, right? Like, he had that one down season where his batting average kind of cratered. Where was that? In 2022, right? He hit 245 with 33 homers. Every other season, it's been 270-plus with a similar power output, you know, when he can get the health to stay on the field. Yeah, this one's weird. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, I'm definitely not dropping him. I didn't realize he was hitting under 200, to be completely honest with you. But I mean, his XBA is not much better. It's 229. Yeah, I mean, it's 40 points higher, but you know, that's still terrible. But 17 barrels, 16% hard hit percentage, and a 46.2 barrel percentage. Like, there's no way I'm dropping that.
No.
But the problem is, you did draft him as a batting average asset, and now he's hurting you. So your team composition is probably out of whack based on what you were expecting as somebody that you're playing every day. So, you know, you might just need to try to find, you know, somebody who can make up for that. You know, find somebody who can hit 265, 270 with not as much power. Easier said than done, I know. But, yeah, I think you're crazy to drop Seager.
Yeah, if I drafted Corey Seager, I'm not dropping Corey Seager. It's just the profile's too good. You mentioned the contact rates. Like, those are very, very positive. Willy Adames is, you know, let's go back to the struggling Giants here. He's hitting 222 on the season entering Wednesday. 3 home runs, 1 steal, striking out nearly 30% of the time. But you watch Giants games. I watch Giants games. I will admit, Willie's been swinging it much better of late. And I kind of broke down the sample size here. And if we go over, like, the last 13 games, like 2 weeks here for Willie, he's hitting 264. Now, there's no home runs, but we're getting a better average, at least. Like, so we're seeing something. Balls are getting in play. What's this? Baby steps is all I want right now with the Giants. This isn't even a fantasy thought right about now. But when it comes to Willy Adames, I know it's been bad. I'd rather hold him than Matt Chapman, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like he's got more fantasy juice than Chapman. You can just, again, back of the baseball card, end of the season, right? I mean, Adames had that amazing season right before he got signed by the Giants. None of us were expecting that, going to a much harder ballpark to hit in. You know, and maybe he sold out on the base pass to try to get that cash, and he got it. Good for him. But, you know, he was terrible the first 2 months last year, right? I mean, he just was struggling to get anything going. You know, he's probably pressing, you know, trying to just swing too hard and do too much. And then he just really caught fire second half of the season. I think he ended with 30 home runs, right? Yes, and he was
first Giant to hit 30 home runs.
Yeah.
Like Bonds or something.
And he was really bad. You know, again, the first couple of weeks of the season, if not the first couple of months of the season, we were all having this conversation of, oh boy, did the Giants just waste so much money on a terrible player? You know, hopefully not. And, you know, you look at the end of the season, wasn't that different than 24, which was his career year, you know? I mean, it was 30 homers, 12 steals, 94 runs, 87 RBIs. The 225 wasn't great, but you expect his average to go down in San Francisco. It's just a harder place to hit. So, yeah, he's not a drop. He got dropped in one of my OCs. He actually got dropped in the Beat Booms OC, and it was kind of funny. I think my bid for him was like $19 or $20 because I need batting average in that league. And I just knew I wasn't going to get him. So I didn't even really care, you know. And he ended up going for like
a, for the batting average for sure.
Yeah. And he ended up going for $187 or $190 bucks to Jason in the league, who, fellow Giants fan, you know, was drafting Adamas everywhere.
Yeah, I knew he was all in
on Adamas this year. Yeah. And so we kind of knew that he was gonna get him, and sure enough, he did it. And the runner-up bid was not in the triple digits, so you know he overpaid a little bit. But again, people have their guys, you know. And
oh, and in 12s you can do that.
Yeah, if you're on him,
because you're gonna be fine later on.
Yeah, if you're on a guy, and all of a sudden he pops up on your waiver wire when you were willing to draft him in round 12, 13, then of course you spend your money. Because, you know, his argument was, yeah, he struggled last year too. And look at the end of the season. Give me a guy that's 30, 90, 90. Yeah, please, for free, essentially, right? Yep. You know, everybody off the waiver is essentially free. They didn't cost you anything. They cost you some fab dollars, but they give us a lot to spend. So you got to spend it somewhere.
And, like, I don't even know the context of his team, but just knowing Booms. And you mentioned, like, towards the top of the show, like, if you're down on steals, maybe you punt steals. If he's down on batting average, maybe go get the four categories of Adamas because your batting average is gone anyways. Who cares? Like, there's a lot of levels to why certain moves are made throughout the season that we can't always quantify. Moises Ballesteros, this comes from Britton Allen, a good buddy. Hitting 257, six homers, 20 RBIs, has been ice cold over the last couple weeks, though. He was one of the hotter hitters in baseball, DHing. He's in a strict platoon, DHing. He's catching a little bit, but the bat has gone cold, Brandon. So what are we doing here? Because right now he's util only. He's got four games at catcher. We got some time to go there, which makes it harder to roster Ballesteros. But we've seen the peaks that are coming with this valley at the same time.
Yeah, I picked him up in a league a couple weeks ago, you know, kind of during his hot streak. And then I have gotten nothing out of it because he's been really bad, like you said. Yeah, 3 for his last 43. That's ice cold might be a compliment to that current hitting streak. But the guy's talented, got, you know, has a bunch of power, you know, has the ability to get it done. You know, looking at his underlying, you know, hard hit 13.4, barrel rate 48.8. He's got 11 barrels, XBA is 260. He's not going to steal you any bases. You know, that's certainly a profile that plays, in my opinion. I think he fits nicely into that bench streamer bucket. You know, like you said, platoons, he's a lefty. Just look at the pitching planner. How many righties is he facing? You know, is he facing two lefties in the first half of the week or the second half of the week? Then bench the guy, you know, use the tools. I mean, most of these names came from the Discord, right? So Discord has access to all those tools. So use the tools to your advantage to craft the best lineup that you can put together. Whether it produces or not, that's out of your control. All you can do is put the right pieces in your lineup and hope for the outcomes that, you know, are going to give you an advantage in your league. But, you know, don't play him when he's playing two lefties. It's like Carpenter, you know, when healthy, play him against righties. You know, if he's got two righties and one lefty, what are your other options? You know, and then you just, if you use a projection system on a weekly basis, you know, if that's your tiebreaker, great. You know, me, I just kind of go by gut and I just put in the guy that I think is the right play and hope it works.
That's me as well. I look at matchups. I look at this, that, and the other. The tiebreaker is my gut, which, it's a big gut, so hopefully it makes good decisions along the way. A couple more here. Miram has Addison Barger, who came back for four games before getting hurt again. So, yeah, he's a drop. He wasn't hitting beforehand. Like, I understand the ceiling that Barger can bring into play here, but I just, I'm out.
I mean, his actual batting average is atrocious, right?
Yeah, .045.
Yeah.
I'm not making that up. 28 plate appearances. No. He's been hurt all year.
I know, but I mean,
it's bad. It's bad. It's really bad. Like, I would, I don't need that on my roster.
No, and I've looked at him. He's been on some waiver wires, and you know, I keep looking at it, and as soon as I click on it, I do see that average. I'm like, what? Why am I? No, you know, I mean, his XBA is 131. Again, you know, such a small sample, but you know, this is his second elbow injury. You know, I know he can mash. I mean, he had a great playoffs. You know, he had a decent season. But, yeah, why? Especially if he's already hurt for the second time.
said the second time. Exactly. Andy Splinter has Foster Griffin. Now, this is an interesting one. I'm surprised to see this on the list because Foster Griffin has been nothing short of really, really, I don't know if great's the right word, but pretty close to great. It's been 11 earned runs over his first eight starts. It's 42 Ks and 46 and two thirds. There's hiccups. Like, he's overachieved. I'm not going to deny that by any means, but he still pitched really, really well in a season when pitching's been horrible. So, what are your thoughts on Foster Griffin?
Yeah, he's not a guy I'm on, or, you know, not a guy I have any shares of, but yeah, you just can't drop him, right? I mean, you just can't. Unless your pitching staff is really good, which
best staff in baseball.
Yeah, that you can't find room for this guy between nine pitching spots and seven bench spots, right? I mean, I get it. I mean, he's out producing, you know, but guys can outproduce for a whole season. You know, that's how you get, you know, a 2.2 ERA or a 2.5 ERA or a sub 2 ERA and a sub 1 WHIP out of some guys, you know. You know, they're not all named Jacob DeGrom. I mean, hell, R.A. Dickey, right? He had like a 2.1 ERA and a 0.8 WHIP, won the Cy Young. It's like, and then he was terrible every year before and every year after. Like, stuff happens. And you just, again, you just keep playing it until it breaks. Because maybe this is just the season where all the luck is just front loaded to this year. And he gets all the breaks, and he gets out of all the bases loaded jams, and the guy makes the great catch with second and third and two outs. Like, just stuff happens. And he's, you know, got good enough stuff where he's kind of alternating between a good K game and a bad K game. And that's obviously fluky and random, but it's just kind of funny to look at. You know, 1-7, 3-8, 3-9, you know, it's just, you put it all together, it's decent. You know, and I mean, his underlying stuff, it's not fantastic. You know, 4.06 xERA, 14.2 K minus walk, decent, 45% ground ball, decent. You know, yeah, we'd like to see it close, you know, north of 50, but, you know, Washington's scoring a bunch of runs. Their offense is pretty good. Yeah, I don't think their team is good, but they score. So you do have a decent win chance there. I mean, he's got four wins on the season. Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer hold. And like I said, I don't even know why he would be on the list based on current performance. Kind of like Nick Martinez, right? Based on current performance and, like, what he's doing, what his stats are, I think it's crazy to even think about dropping him. You know, if you are worried about the regression, don't. I mean, yes, worry about it, but you can't just sit there and be scared every start. You know, but also don't be stupid, right? Don't start him at Cincinnati and don't start him at Sacramento or New York, you know, or the Dodgers, right? I mean, try and be strategic
Like, if we weren't in the NFBC, I'd say trade him, but we're not in that.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, I play in a home league, right? Where we do trades, and, you know, it's, you know, I got guys trying to buy Fernando Tatis for, you know, I won't even say 10 cents on the dollar, 2 cents on the dollar, you know. I'm just getting all kinds of garbage thrown at me, and I'm just like, no, I'm not trading. And it's an auction league. I'm not trading my most expensive player. You know, it's just like, it's not happening. I'll go down with the ship. I'm not giving them up for cheap, you know. So, but, yeah, that's definitely a thing. Like, with some of these guys, if you play in trade leagues, I mean, I know most of us are in the NFBC landscape, but it's not the end-all be-all. There's tons and tons and tons of home leagues, especially, you know, on Yahoo, which is where mine is. You know, been playing there for probably close to 30 years, and so, you know,
about it every week.
And so, you know, if you have the access to these stats and you're putting in the time, and, you know, you see Foster Griffin's got a, you know, 2.2 ERA, but, you know, the xERA is two runs higher, and, you know, it looks like he's got a bad stretch of games coming up against tough opponents. See if you can spin him for something that you can use for, you know, the next month or two, and then just keep trying to flip that next guy. You know, trades are tough to make in home leagues because everybody thinks you're getting over on them if they pull the trigger and hit accept, you know. So it usually stalemates a lot of the stuff that can get done, but, you know, throw it out there. You know, see what happens. Put a bunch of different trade packages together, and you know, like you said, see if you can get somebody that you like who's off to a bad start, like a Lizardo. You know, let's circle it back to, you know, who we were talking about before the show. You know, a guy that we both were really high on that's, you know, struggling in the real world, but man, all his underlying stats are through the roof. Fantastic. So, you know, just maybe an owner's sick of it and then just said, hey, screw it. Take this guy. He's bad for my team. I don't like it.
He's bad for my team. Indeed. Another guy that could be bad for your team is TJ Friedl. This is from Timothy. He's got this one. TJ Friedl's hitting 186 with two home runs and five steals, which is beyond bad, is the nice way I'll put it. And I have him in a 15 teamer where I bench him and then I play him in Cincinnati. And ironically, he's hitting better on the road. So maybe that tells me everything I need to know about the answer to this question. But they still hit him at the top of the order, which is polarizing. And over the last 2 weeks, hitting 231 with two homers and a steal. So he's like kind of, sort of, maybe coming out of his shell. I should probably get a 12. He's still very, very difficult to roster. In a 15, I'm hanging on for dear life. But what are your thoughts on TJ Friedl?
Yeah, I feel like he does this every year. And I feel like I look at him every year and I'm just like, oh, yeah, oh, he just bats at the top of the lineup. You know, he's always got, you know, 12 to 15 homers, 18 to 22 steals. And it's going to be pretty good. And then I go, like, look at his Savant page, and it's just blue and terrible. And I'm like, how is this guy hitting 15 home runs? Like, I don't even know. He's got his barrel percentage is 3. His hard hit is 30. His XBA is 199. Like, that's just all really terrible. You know, he's got 3 barrels on the season. You know, he had 13 barrels last year. I think he had more homers than barrels. So, you know. It's doable, but 13 is his career high for barrels. You know, it's like, you know, what do you know? I just think it's a no.
Yep. I think I need to move on that one. All right. This is a therapy session for me. I think I know what I'm doing this week, but it's been a bench for the last few weeks to see if he can figure it out. But Shane Boz, this is a guy I was really kind of pumped on getting out of that minor league ballpark in Tampa Bay, what could have been. And there's nothing it can be, apparently, because he is just bad at pitching right now. ERA, like 5.5. He's got 19 walks to 38 strikeouts to 44. It's brutal. Tell me what I need to hear, Brandon. What are we doing with Shane Boz?
Well, I need to tell you that you owe me at least 2 buy-ins worth of OCs for the amount of Shane Boz that I drafted because of you.
Hey,
okay,
I have
him everywhere, too. I'm gonna take some personal umbrage here. but it can be a group therapy session because I cut him. He's gone.
I've been benching him going, okay, please. It's gotten worse. So it's just like,
it has not gotten better, you know, and I kind of have this old adage that, you know, Tampa Bay is a really smart organization. And if they move on from somebody, it's for a reason. And I kind of had this conversation when Manzardo got traded to Cleveland and, you know, he was kind of getting talked up. And I just said, hey, if they don't want him, I don't want him. And I kind of thought differently with Baz because of the ballpark, because of the wonky season that they had. You know, the guy's got good velo, you know, and he's just not a good pitcher. You know, it's like they let him go and sign Nick Martinez to the most money of any player. And look what Nick Martinez is doing. Like I don't know what this witchcraft is, but they got it figured out. So yeah, I think you just have to move on. Yeah. The damage has been done. You got to try to work your ratios back down. I have a lot of teams that have over 4 ERAs cumulative, and he's been a big culprit of that. So I hit the personal therapy button this past Sunday and said, bye.
Yeah, let me just say, though, where I have benched him for the last 2 weeks, the ERA has gone down. It's amazing how that works.
Rightfully so.
It's unbelievable how that works. It's brutal because ballpark last year, he actually looked at everything, quote-unquote, under the hood. It actually didn't look bad. So,
I know.
But again, he was still pitching for Tampa, to your point, at that point in time. All right, last one we got here from Chasco. Not really sure why this one's on the list, but Joe Adele. Joe Adele's got 6 homers, 25 RBIs, 2 steals, hitting 269. This is an easy hold
for me. Yeah, it's just play Joe Adele. It's easy. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, got 269. I didn't even realize he was hitting that good.
He's playing really well.
You know, yeah, obviously they're expecting more power, which is why he's on there. But, I mean, 6 homers is fine. You know, I don't think he was going to get to the same power numbers as last year. I'd rather have a few less homers and 30 more points of batting average out of Joe Adell for sure.
Full agree. Well, we made it. That's quite the list that we navigated there and got her done. I appreciate all of that. Any final thoughts? Like I said, we're 30% through the season. We can agree on that middle point. It's a grind. I have a couple good teams. I have a lot of teams that need a lot of tender loving care to get things going this year as well. But we don't give up in these parts, and we work through it. And dropping certain players is one way to get through it. So any final thoughts, Brandon, as we get ready to wrap this one up?
No, just keep grinding. Like if you're in, you know, 12 teamers, like I said, I got a bunch of them, and you know, I know what I signed up for, right? I signed up for 3 to 4 hours every Sunday sitting at my computer doing fab, and you just try to make your teams better slowly but surely. You know, I track my progress every month, you know, for how my teams are doing in my league plus the overall. And I just try to see that number move up every month, you know, and that's kind of my goal. You know, obviously the goal is always to win your league, but you know, if you can't do that, just try to keep improving and make your team better, because guys will quit, guys will give up. And if you keep grinding, you know, you get a hot couple months at the end of the season, you can really move, you know, and you can just kind of sneak into some cash, and that can give you a few more shots at it next year. So just keep at it.
Yep. That's all you can do. That's all I continue to do. Like I have the old adage that I want to finish as high as possible, no matter what. So even if it's, you know, I'd love the cash obviously, but if it means going from 7th to 5th, like I'm going to keep fighting to do that as the season goes along, and not like it matters, but it matters to me. So
yeah, same.
We go through the motions, and I just, if I'm putting the money and the time in, we're not giving up in my neck. That's what I do at least. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it's just personal pride, right? You know, hey, I just, you know, a lot of the leagues we have, we're playing with guys we know. And exactly. Even if it doesn't mean anything to beat him, it's like, I just want to beat him. You know, it's just like, hey, you know, that guy's in the industry. He's got a name. If I can just get 4th and he gets 5th, it makes me feel a little better, you know?
Full agree. Well, man, we'll have to do this again sooner than later. It's been good. We kind of, you know, every couple months so far in this season, maybe we'll keep that trend rolling. And good luck the rest of the way. For those that don't follow him, you should. He tweets once in a while when he's not busy navigating the stat sheets and everything else over there on at the human rain delay. Delay is DLAY. There's no E in that one. Corkwood over there. But Brandon, thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
Bubba, always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, everybody. This is Bench with Bubba, episode 853. Catch you all next time.